I am not a very smart man. And I say that at the very beginning because it's true. All right. Giving the example of it this morning, and I love God, and He really is. There really is a God. Okay. I know some people still doubt that, but there really is a God who is so intrinsically involved in our lives on an everyday basis, moment by moment. He is involved in our lives, and sometimes I think we forget that. So this morning I was here early, still trying to get this crazy message together. It's driving me a little bit crazy. Actually, it's driving me a lot crazy. But I make the coffee in the back in the morning and stuff, and I drank a whole pot of coffee this morning, so I might be a little bit jittery and stuff like that. But several times as I went back to get a cup of coffee, I always look out the window at the rock. You know, there's just something heartwarming about it. But something was happening this morning that has not happened since we built it, and it was driving me a little bit crazy because I'd look out the window, and we haven't got electricity like. Real electric, well, we've got real electricity in there, but it's not going in there the way it's supposed to be going in there. We got an extension cord basically running across the driveway, bringing electricity in the building that goes through the door. And so all this time that we've been doing this, it's been like this for like over a month, right, Ed? At least over a month. All the time that we've been here, I've worried about it. I thought about it. See the cord going through the door. And this morning, of all mornings, the wind, which isn't as bad as it has been, was blowing the door open. This morning, and it was concerning me because I'd look out the window and the door would be blown partway open and then start going shut, and then the window blow it again and come open. I was like, oh man, that's all we need is a broken door already. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, oh man, how are we going to keep that door shut? And so in my mind, here's what I had. In my mind, I was thinking, man, we need to get like some type of bungee cord or something like that, hook it on the inside of the door to something solid on the inside to keep the door shut. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and so in my mind, that's what we've got to do. And I couldn't think of any other way to do it. And so I called Ed and I said, Ed, hey, if you got an opportunity, you got some bungee cords, something like that, could you bring some bungee cords over and bungee cord this door shut? I'm really afraid it's going to get broken and stuff. And he's like, yeah, I can do that. But why don't you just put something on the outside to block it from blowing open? So for 25, 30 minutes, I was worried about what we were going to put on the inside to keep it from blowing open. And it never even crossed my mind to take the concrete brick that was right outside the door and move it 3 feet in front of the door to keep it shut. So having said that, I am not a very smart man. Okay? The reason I say all that is because of Nathan. So Nathan, I'm looking at you online right now, and I can see your eyes looking back at me. About a month ago, he gives me this little article. He said, this would be a really great sermon series. He says, I could see you working on this, and this would be really good. And I thought it was a good idea at the time until I started working on it. So we're living in a really bizarre time. And you know what? I'm sure every generation from the beginning of time, I'm sure Adam and Eve, they thought, man, we're living in a really bizarre time. I'm sure every generation has thought that throughout history, okay? But our generation right now, it's a little bit different as every generation has been. We've got our own challenges. We've got our own issues. We've got our own troubles, and some of those troubles seem bigger than what the troubles have been in the past, and so on and so forth. And God's word speaks to this in incredible ways, in amazing ways, and how we can have a peace in the midst of all the trials and tribulations and the troubles and everything that seems to be falling apart in our world right now. God speaks to this in so many different ways, but the passage of scripture that Nathan asked me to take a look at is actually in Philippians chapter 4, and it's actually verse 8. But I'm going to back up to verse 4 just to get this started and so I can avoid it for just a little bit longer, okay? So Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. That's great advice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. I thought you were raising your hand for a question. I thought, man, please don't ask questions now. I'm in trouble. Amen. Did you hear that? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then we get into this verse 8, which is where Nathan left me almost 3 weeks ago. He is watching. Yeah, did he make a comment back yet? He's watching. Yeah, well, doing me a lot of good way over there right now. No, I totally understand. I get it. I love you, brother. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, the last part of that verse right there is probably the most important part from what we're facing today in our world, in our society. Is getting absolutely crazy about what are we thinking about? What is occupying our minds and our time and our resources? What is it that is stirring around in these minds of ours today? And I think that is one of the largest, it's a great blessing, but it's one of the largest problems, and it's the core of what's going on in our world and what we're facing more than anything else. What is going on in the battle of our minds? So I got a text from my daughter Karina this week, and it made me just laugh. I didn't even respond to her. I just laughed, put it back in my pocket, and walked on. Here is the text that I got from Karina, if I can find it here. Here we go. So this is the text that I got from Karina. I love her. She's very smart. I am not a very smart man, but she is very smart. It says, I'm at work, and we have a question. Why are you asking me, I'm wondering? So here we go. My hands are shaking. Too much coffee. Here we go. Did we ever have a set of encyclopedias at home? Like, how did we know stuff before Google? I understand I haven't had it my whole life, but I don't remember having them. So did you get that question? How did we know stuff before Google? Her real question was, did we ever have encyclopedias? I don't know. I don't remember. I do know this question kind of hits the core of where we're at in our world today. There is so much information. There are so many opinions. There is so much stuff that our minds are being bombarded with that we get to a point where we really don't know what's what anymore. When we get right to the core of it, it's that very first word of the passage that we're looking at when it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true. Whatever is true. Whew. What is truth? Do you remember that question? Do you remember who asked it? His name was Pilate. And Jesus, it was actually, let's see if I can find it here real quick. John chapter 18, the Gospel of John chapter 18. Jesus says something right before this. So he's before Pilate. The whole crucifixion thing is about to happen. Everyone's accusing him of all kinds of different things. And Jesus is speaking with Pilate, who went back inside in John chapter 18, beginning verse 33, it says, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea? Jesus asked. Or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it that you have done? And Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Let me read that again real quick. Jesus says this very plainly. I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me, Jesus said. Then Pilate says this little question. What is truth? Pilate asked. And to be honest with you, the world has been asking that same question forever. What is truth? So what happens is, again, I am not a very smart man. And I'm trying to explain something that is way over my head, I believe. And so I'm relying on the Holy Spirit right now to speak truth into your hearts, because what's going on right at this very moment, every single one of us is in a different place. Every single one of us, because of our life and what we've lived and what we've experienced and what we know, has a little bit of a different truth that we are living by and hanging on to, okay? In our minds, we are living the truth because of our experiences and what we know. And so if here, like I said last week, I didn't realize I said it last week, but Jody told me I said it last week. Each one of us is living what we believe is the truth, okay? Because here's the thing. If I believed that something else was the truth, get this, I would be living it. Does that make sense? Am I confusing everyone? We all have this different idea of what the truth is. But here's the thing. The world has gotten to us to a place where we want to actually promote that idea that your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth and your truth is right and my truth is right and this person's truth is right and everyone's truth is right. But here's the thing. If everyone's truth is right, then there is no truth, okay? If there is no absolute truth in the world, then there is no standard. There is nothing that we have to live up to. And this is where we're at in our world right now. Because we've taken God out of the world. The world has tried to do that. If we take God out of the world, then there is no absolute truth, because absolute truth lies with God. He is truth. There is an absolute line, what is a truth and what is lie, and that line is God, and he establishes that line completely and totally. And we've tried to reestablish that line and tried to make all kinds of other things the line in which truth and lies are separated by. I mean, all kinds of good things, all kinds of nice things, but all kinds of things that are not God. God is truth. As a matter of fact, his word says this over and over and over again. Take a look. I got to get rid of my phone or I'm going to drop it and I'm going to break my screen. So Psalm chapter 33, verse 4. Oh, Lord, please guide my words here. Psalm chapter 33. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, sing joyfully to the Lord. I like that. That's good. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Let's just stop there. Let's praise God. Verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. the word of the Lord is right and true. So we understand the word of the Lord, God's word. Everything that he spoke, everything that he is right and true. Yes? Take a look with me in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is an awesome psalm. One of these days, if I get big enough and strong enough and smart enough, I'm going to do a series on Psalm 119. It is just an awesome psalm. If you have time today or sometime this week, I would encourage you greatly to open up your Bibles to Psalm 119 and just start reading it and soaking it in, because it's absolutely awesome. So Psalm 119, verse 142 says this. Psalm 119, verse 142 says, your righteousness is everlasting, and your law, listen to what it says, and your law is true. Do you hear that? His word is true. His law is true. Verse 151 says this, yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. All your commands are true. Psalm 119, verse 160 says this, all your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. God is true. In him there is no falseness. There is no lie. There is no pretense in any way, shape, or form. For God is absolute truth. And God has given the ability to allow us to know his absolute truth through his word, through his laws, through his commands, through the very being of who he is. But the problem is, and here's the problem. Here's the problem. At the very beginning, when Adam and Eve was with God in the garden, and they lived with him, and they knew him, and they walked with him, there was truth in the world. There was absolute truth in the world. Because they were in direct fellowship with God, they did not need Google. They did not need encyclopedias. They did not need libraries or anything else, because they were in the very presence of God and all his truth was at their fingertips. They could have a conversation of whatever they wanted to. They're like, Lord, would you explain the idea of thermodynamics? And God would say, here it is right here. Not that thermodynamics is really a thing. All truth was at their fingertips. But the lie entered in when they started to question the truth of God. Do you remember the whole series? So God said, you know what? You can eat of any tree in the entire garden. It's all here for you. It's beautiful. It's good for the fruit is good. You can eat of any tree in the garden except for all the trees except for this one tree you're not supposed to eat of. Don't eat of this one tree. Every tree here you can eat of, all the fruit, the leaves, the roots, the bark. He didn't say all the roots and the leaves and the bark and all their time. But he says you can eat of any one of these fruit of the trees that are in this garden, but there's one tree you shouldn't eat of, and that's the tree of truth, of good and evil, of knowledge of the good and evil. And you know what happens? Satan comes and he says, did God really say that you can't eat of all these trees? And he's like, no. She says, no, we're not supposed to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we're not even supposed to touch it. Boom, it entered in. That doubt of God's truth entered in. And when we were separated from God completely and totally, we have lost the access to the understanding of absolute, get it completely and true, absolute truth. So man, we are just doomed. Absolutely doomed, because we will never understand what absolute truth is. How can we act on truth and how can we live in truth if we don't know what absolute truth truly is? Guess what? We are doomed. We are in big trouble. Except for this one little aspect. You know what the one little aspect is? Jesus. I'd never thought of it like this before, but the passages are there over and over and over again. You see, Jesus is the unique opportunity to understand the truth. Okay, here we go. In the Gospel of John, see if I can get this. John the Baptist. John chapter 3. Lord, you're going to have to leave me here now. Here we are. John chapter 3. Let's start at verse 27. Well, let's back up. Let's just go to 22. Maybe I can get out of this somehow. Here we go. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out in the Judean countryside where they spent some time with them and baptized. Now John the Baptist, was also baptizing at Aenon near Salem. Because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the manner of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one who you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." And to this John replied, "A man can receive only what is given him from heaven." You hear that? A man can receive only what is given to him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, "I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of him." The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. He must become greater and I must become less. Here we go. Verse 31. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. You know who that? So John, when he says that, when he says the one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. So right there, John is referring to himself. John is saying, "I am from the earth, and I speak as one from the earth. I understand all things. My truth, my reality is from what I've experienced and what I know and what I understand. That is my truth." And that's exactly what John is saying. Because I live in the world, because I am of the world, that is my truth. That is my understanding, and that is what I'm saying. But then listen to what he continues to say. And this gets me, all right? The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. So John, first of all, is speaking of himself. He says, "I'm of the earth, and I'm from the earth, and I only understand and speak about what I know and understand." But Jesus, remember I said the difference is Jesus. Where did Jesus come from? He came from above. He has been with God from the very beginning, if there was a beginning. He has always been with God, and he is God. So Jesus, the one man in all the world, in all of history, who has a complete understanding of who God is and what God is like and where he came from and where God is at and how all things really, truly are, okay? He's got it. He isn't limited by his own knowledge and understanding of what the earth is and all the different principles and the things that I understand. He's not limited by that because Jesus came from God. He knows the absolute truth of all things. Can I emphasize that in any other way? Jesus knows the truth. He doesn't have to wonder about it. He doesn't have to think about it. He doesn't have to contemplate it. He knows because he is God. He came from God, and he came into the world, and he came to let us know about the truth. Not only did he come to let us know about the truth, he came to live the truth. And every word that he spoke was the truth. He gave us the perfect example. Now, this is over and over and over again. You can look at John Oh my goodness. Let's see if I can find them all. John 17. Hopefully this is one. John 17. Man, I just put John 17. I didn't put the verse in there. That's not going to help me very much at all, is it? Set apart by truth. John 17. Where does it say? See, the trouble is, if you look at my Bible, can you see my Bible? You see the other side, sir? You see all the passages that are underlined and starred? I've got a lot of them. There's a lot of important things. Actually, I probably should just take the highlighter each day and just kind of highlight the whole page because it's all really important. But there's places over and over again that is talking about that Jesus is what? He is the way. Oh, you got it? Bet it is. Yes. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. Sanctify them by the truth, by himself. Sanctify them. Also in John 14:6, let's go to look at that one. Take a look at. This is where I'm getting a little shaky, aren't I? John 14:6. Maybe I need another cup of coffee. Here we go. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. John 1, verse 17 says this. Once again, John the Baptist. Here it is. This is the one I was wanting. So do you remember what I said through the Psalms? That truth is the law, his commands, his word, God's word. John chapter 1, verse 17, it says, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So truth came into the world through Jesus. Let's see if I can get a hold of this for you, okay? And explain this. So Jesus is the truth. Every word, every action, everything he did was true and an exact representation of God, who is all truth. Absolute truth, okay? And we are to follow Jesus in his truth, in his word, through the word of God, okay? But when it says grace and truth came into the world, God knew that we were imperfect. And in order for us to live in that truth, we have to have that other word, grace. You see, because this is so hard to get in my... I am not a very smart man. I am not a very smart man. But as long as we live in this world and we don't have a complete understanding of who God is, totally, we don't have that direct fellowship with him, we are all going to be living outside of absolute truth. Do you understand that? We're all flawed. And you might be thinking you're living truth, and you might be thinking you're living truth, and you might think you're living truth, and we all think we're living the truth. We all think we're following the commands. We all think we're following what is right and what is true and all these different things. But here's the thing. None of us are completely and totally, okay? But the trouble is when we decide that we think we've got the truth and we want everyone else to live by the truth that we think is truth. You know what I'm saying? And that's where wars come in. That's where conflict comes in. That's where all the problems of the world come in. It's not that we are not living by the truth. The problem comes in when we think we've got the truth and we think everyone else should live by our truth. And we try to impose our truth on other people. Okay? And that's the same with Christianity. Now, hang with me here a second. because we believe that we've got the truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We get that. We understand that. That's true. In my mind, that is absolutely true. And I think everyone should live by Jesus, right? I think everyone should live by God's word, and it should be the gold standard of all of our lives in every way, shape, or form. Got that? I believe that with all my heart. I believe if everyone lived by God's word and followed it completely and totally right, it would be kumbaya, all right? And I would love for that to happen, but I've also come to the understanding, I've looked at history, and that's why history is so important. You see, as soon as someone decides that we have the right to impose that truth on other people, then we've got a problem, and that's where conflict starts. That's why grace, listen to me, grace is so important. And not just in the biggest things, not like this in Christianity and Muslims and all these different things, okay, all these different religions. Not just in that, but even in the small things, because the small things are what's tearing even Christians apart. Remember what I said last week? There are over 141,000, and I don't know about these numbers, don't quote me because I don't think that's actually the truth, all right? But over 141,000 of denominational Christianity, different denominations of Christianity, 141,000, that can't possibly be right. But the reason is because so many people have differences and they separate because we're trying to follow what our truth is. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm also saying that we've got to accept that truth with grace, and we need to live our truth with grace towards other people, all right? Here's the thing. So some of you are thinking, man, you are going in a bad place right now because there is absolute truth. Yes, I believe there's absolute truth. Yes, I believe we are supposed to try and live it as best we possibly can. Yes, I believe that absolute truth is in God's word, and we need to follow God's word, and we need to follow it as closely as we possibly can. But I also believe that we need to live that absolute truth with grace in our life. And Jesus said that we are to live our lives with love. Love and grace in the midst of those truths. The three of them go together. They have to be hand in hand, because if they're not hand in hand, we are in big trouble, because we are not going to be living in grace or love or truth if we decide that we've got it, because we don't. God does. And one day we will know the absolute truth. Whether we put our faith in Jesus or not, one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day we will know the truth, because we will be in the presence of God, and we will not need Google, and we will not need encyclopedias, and libraries will be gone, because absolute truth will be in our presence. All right? So there's this little quote I found in many, many articles and stuff that I've been trying to read in order to understand this. Because there's a danger in this idea. There's a danger. There's a difference between grace, living in grace and love, okay? There's a difference between living in grace and love and living in the idea in the world that we're living in right now of tolerance. Let me read this little paragraph to you. Now, I'll tell you who wrote it. It was this guy named Joe Tilton. He says, our world has elected to teach tolerance for lies rather than stick to the truth. So there's a difference here. Let me hang on to this, all right? Because I know some of you are looking at me and saying, oh man, you're in a bad spot. Listen to what it says. We teach tolerance for lies rather than sticking to the truth. This tolerance means we accept lies by calling it their truth and allowing deceit to rule them. Such tolerance leads to acceptance, even by society, that a lie can be an acceptable alternative. We have come to a point where making someone feel good by supporting untruths just to avoid making them angry or protecting ourselves has multiplied agony and tyranny like a rapid growing bacteria. So there's a difference between loving and grace, living in grace and love, and this idea of acceptance of tolerance. So we need to continue to live in the truth of God's word. And that's why this is so important. You see, there is a standard of truth, and it begins right here in the written word, okay? And if the written word is hard for you to understand, then we have a living word, We have a living word, a living example of God's written word, and that living word was in Jesus Christ and his example of his life and his words and his actions. And if you want to know how to live in truth, you look at the example of Jesus and how he lived. And he lived in an amazing way of living in the truth, never compromising the truth, but living with grace, living in love with everyone he met, because he recognized, because he's God and knew the absolute truth, he recognized that as he walked the streets, every person that he came in contact with, every one of us, were living in such a way that we were doing the best that we can at the moment. We were trying to live, as each one of us are right now, trying to live in our truth as we understand it. And the only way for that truth to get closer to the absolute truth is not to condemn, but to point each one of us to that absolute truth in God. Keep encouraging. Keep pointing to the Word of God. Keep recognizing, and this is the most important part, I don't have it. I don't completely understand it. But I know that we will never obtain it while we're on this earth, but we have the opportunity to continue to grow in our relationship and get closer and closer to the truth as we live out and experience and search for his truth through God, through the example of Jesus Christ. And here's the most amazing part of this whole thing. We cannot do this on our own. And so Jesus gave us an incredible gift for those who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, who have born to a new life. He has given us the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit that can dwell within us, that will dwell within us, that can direct us, can guide us with all grace and love to the path of truth. Guys, it's going to be hard. Because the whole battle is in our own mind. Remember, the whole beginning of this passage was what you think about. And the very first part of this is thinking about what is true. We need to think about what is true. And the biggest truth that I can start with is that I don't completely understand the truth. I don't have it. I need to admit that. Does anyone here think they have the truth? I mean, absolutely know the truth completely? If you do, that's the biggest falsehood in your life. You don't. But we have given the opportunity to grow in the knowledge and the understanding of the truth, which is God. And one day, we will know the truth because it resides with God. In the meantime, somehow, in my mind, I've got to figure out the difference between that tolerance and grace and love. That's where I'm struggling. Because I know each one of us is in a different place. Each one of us has a different experience of life. Each one of us has a little bit different understanding of the truth that we're trying to live out. I should probably stop there. But I've been watching some shows on Netflix. Oh, man, I need to practice what I'm preaching about the whole idea of think about what is true. But I've been watching these shows about inner city. Kids that grow up in the inner city, and I can't understand it. I can't understand the mindset. I'm watching it, and I'm watching mistakes that are being over and over, and just the hopelessness and helplessness and the anger and all the different things that I'm watching these young people go through in their lives. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with these people? And yet I know that they're looking at people like me who grew up in the country, and they're looking at me and saying, oh my gosh, what is wrong with that guy? You know what I'm saying? They're like, why would he go outside at night when it's so dark and there's all those animals out there? You know what I'm saying? And I've heard that. I've heard that from people I know. They're like, man, you're just crazy going outside at night and it's dark and you don't know what's out there. And you need lights out there. There's nothing out there that's going to get me. Got to get to the point where we accept people where they're at and we love them where they're at and we speak truth as best we know it with God's grace to bring them to a point where they take the next step, just one step, into the understanding of who God really is. Truly is. I've got miles to go. Miles and miles to go in my one step at a time in the understanding of who God is. And here's the thing. I need you. I need each one of you to help me in that next step. And you need me to help you in that next step. And we all need to understand the standard by which we are on this journey in. Amen? Have I confused you completely and totally? I hope not. If I have, or if I'm missing something, I'm just going to invite you to stick around after this. After we have some donuts. We're going to meet in this room, and I would love it if someone would come and enlighten me a little bit more, because, whew, this has been a struggle. And some of you are looking at me kind of weird right now. Okay.
So I might want to say it because up here so everybody can hear it.
All right.
It's because I'm called to it. My heart's going. It's one of those things where I know I'm being pulled up here. I'm not a smart man either. I just kind of just got through the high school because of not doing homework and whatever. But I do remember one thing that stuck with me, because I've always been fascinated and was drawn to truth. And there was something in an English class, a bit of poetry, Robert Frost, I believe is who did it. And this really helps a diagram, a visual of what you're talking about. That's why I feel like it needs to be shared, so it helps anybody that's out there.
Say it, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So it goes, we all sit in a circle and suppose, while the secret sits in the center and knows. And that's the visual, is that we're all being drawn to the truth in the middle, but we're outside of it. And we're all like sitting in a circle, supposing we have an idea of it, but we don't have the truth, and it's in the center, so we need to be centered on the truth, and we help each other along, and in that circle, put our arm around each other and say, there it is, you know, and not like be in conflict, but beside each other.
Exactly.
And yeah, encourage each other that way. So that being in a circle around the center and helping each other drawn toward it.
And God is that center.
Yep.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark.
You bet.
We could go on for a long time. I'm going to invite you to stick around. I know we got a class back here. We got a class in here. And I would love to hear your thoughts. I truly would, because, again, whew, we need each other. We need each other.
Amen.
All right? Let's stand and pray. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, I pray you know my heart, Lord. You know my desire, Lord, is to grow close to you, to understand you more fully and completely, Lord. And Lord, I know I'll spend a lifetime trying to do that, and I will not even begin to scratch the surface of it, but that doesn't make me want to stop, Lord. I know, Lord, that truth is in you and from you, and you are truth. And I pray, Lord, that you would draw us closer to you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take our ideas and our experiences, Lord, and conform them and make them into your likeness, according to your word and your perfect example in Jesus Christ. Lord, we need you. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if we will do this in grace and in love, dependent on your mercy, Lord, I know that lives will be changed in a real way. And I know that life will begin in an amazing way for so many. And so, Lord, I pray that you would allow us to continue to contemplate this. I pray, Lord, that you would allow us to continually seek you out and search your word and search through your Holy Spirit, God, into our lives and help us help reveal the non-truths that we are living out, Lord, and help us to turn away from them and come to you and trust in you and step out in faith each day to live out the truth that you placed in our life. Lord, I thank you so much for Jesus. I know he brought me salvation. And I know he brought me grace. And you know, I know he brought me hope. But I also realize now, Lord, that he has brought me truth, the ability to understand you more fully. And help me, Lord, to seek him out more than anything else. And everything else will be added. So we put this time in your hands, and we ask, Lord, that you would impress upon our wills and our minds and our emotions to seek you out. You are an amazing God, and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.